look nearly as wonderful as the room. I think we should have the first glasses of champagne. And Emma Kate, I want to show you the terrace. We've strung little white lights in the potted trees. It's a fairyland.
Flowers and candles and fairy lights,
Griff commented as they toured the space.
All the sparkle, none of the fuss.
I cut miles of frills out of Miss Bitsy's vision, but I really do think she's going to be pleased with how it all turned out. We might have a storm coming in, but not until after midnight. She tapped her pocket in her phone. I keep checking my weather app, and so far so good. There's Miss Bitsy now. And doesn't she look pretty in her long red dress? I'd better go talk to her.
Want backup?
She grabbed his hand. Do I ever? She danced with him. It didn't occur to her until later that not once did a memory of other formal parties and elegant dress intrude. She never thought of Richard, who'd worn a tux as if he were born in one. Everything centered on the moment. Dancing with her father, who pulled out some of the ballroom moves he'd retained from when Ada May had nagged him into lessons. And her grandfather, who swung her into some clogging, and there her muscle memory wasn't as keen as his, when the band kicked it up a few licks. With Clay, who hadn't inherited any rhythm at all, and with Forrest, who'd taken Clay's share of it. How'd you get in here? She asked Forrest. You're not wearing a tux or even a suit and tie.
It's the badge.
He circled her in a smooth two-step.
I told Miss Bitsy I was on duty.
Are you? He only grinned.
I consider myself always on duty, and I haven't worn a monkey suit since senior prom. I hope to continue that winning streak.
Nobby's wearing one.
He is, but he swore to back me up on the on-duty excuse.
What'd you bribe him with?
A fancy coffee and a couple bear claws fresh from the bakery.
She laughed, circled with him.
You look as good as it gets tonight, little sister.
I feel as good as it gets tonight, big brother. Look how happy everybody is. Emma Kate could light the place up all on her own.
Stealing her back, Griff said as he cut in. I could arrest you for that, but I'll let it go. There's a blonde over there who looks like she could use some company.
Shelby glanced over. Her name's Heather. She worked with Emma Kate at the hospital in Baltimore. She's single.
That works.
Griff drew Shelby in as Forrest wandered toward the blonde.
You've got a hit on your hands, Red.
I know it. She slid her hands up his back, pressed her cheek to his. It feels so good. Just like you. I was just saying how happy everybody is. It's so nice knowing people are happy for Emma Kate and Matt. And Miss Bitsy, oh, there she goes, tearing up again and bolting toward the ladies. I'll just go take care of that. Shelby turned her head, brushed a kiss over his cheek. It shouldn't take long, or it could take 20 minutes if it's a genuine crying jag. I'll probably appreciate another glass of champagne once I handle this.
I'll make sure it's waiting.
She started for the doors and the restrooms beyond them, and pulled out her phone when it rang. Miss Susanna, is everything all right? It's nothing much, honey. It's just Callie forgot Fifi and she's heartbroken. We didn't realize it until we were getting them into bed. I've tried substitutes, but she's just set on her Fifi. I don't know how I could have sent her off to you without Fifi. We don't want her first overnight spoiled. I'll just run to the house and get Fifi, drop her off. It won't take 15 minutes for me to get there. I'm so sorry to interrupt and cause you that trouble. My Bill would go get the dog, but I know your mama's been locking up. Don't worry about it. I'm on my way now. Tell Callie I'm bringing Fifi. She spotted Crystal on her way to the ladies. I've got a favor to ask. Miss Bitsy's in there crying a little, just happy, you know how it is, and emotional. I've got to run get Fifi for Callie. Could you just soothe Miss Bitsy or ask Granny to? And let Griff know if you see him. I'll be back in under a half hour. Sure I will. You want me to go get Fifi? Thank you, but I'll be quick. Oh, here. I meant to give you this at the salon. The lipstick I used on you. Thank you, Crystal. Keep this party going. You can count on me. Hurrying off, Shelby shoved the lipstick in her right pocket, the phone in her left. She cast her mind back to packing for Callie. She knew she'd had Fifi right there, but she saw it now. Callie picking up the stuffed dog to talk to it about their sleepover, and carting the dog with her when she'd followed her mama into the other bedroom. On the windowsill, she remembered. How she'd overlooked that, she'd never know. That was all right. She'd be back again before anyone missed her, and Callie and Fifi would be reunited. She cut around town as a Saturday night in the summer could be busy and made it to the house in under 10 minutes. Grateful for the low heels, she ran for the door. They'd scheduled her song for midway through the evening, so she had 30 minutes to spare. But no more. She dashed straight upstairs into her bedroom. There you are, Fifi. I'm so sorry you got left behind. She plucked the much-loved dog off the windowsill, turned to rush right back out again. And he stepped into the doorway. The dog slipped out of her numb fingers as he moved toward her.
Hello, Shelby. Long time no see.
Richard. His hair was dark, a deep, unfamiliar brown, and fell in careless waves well over his collar. Thick scruff covered the lower half of his face. He wore a camo t-shirt and rough khaki pants with scarred army boots, a combination he wouldn't have been caught dead in.
Oh, God. They said you were dead.
They said what I wanted them to say. It didn't take you long to go running back home and spreading your legs for some carpenter. Did you cry for me, Shelby?
I don't understand.
You never did understand much of anything. I guess we've got to have a long talk, you and I. Let's go.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
He reached casually behind his back, drew out a gun.
Yes, you are.
The gun in his hand struck her just as unbelievable as all the rest.
Are you going to shoot me?
For what? I don't have anything you could want.
Did have.
He nodded toward the photo on her dresser. She saw now he'd taken it apart.
I know you, Shelby. You're so damn simple. One thing you'd never get rid of. That picture you gave me of you and the kid. If they picked me up, they'd still have nothing. I kept what I needed with my lovely wife and daughter.
Behind our picture, she murmured. What did you hide there?
Key to the kingdom. We'll talk. Let's go.
I'm not...
I know where she is, he said quietly. Spending the night with her little friend Chelsea at the grandmother's. Maybe I'll just go over there. Pay Callie a visit.
Fear sliced through her, a knife to the bone.
No, you stay away from her. You leave her be.
I'll kill you right here where your family will find you. If I have to handle it that way, the kid's my next stop. Your choice, Shelby.
I'll go. Just leave Callie alone and I'll go with you.
Damn right you will.
He gestured her out of the room with the gun.
So predictable. Always were, always will be. I knew you were a born mark the first time I saw you.
Why don't you just take what you came for and go? We don't mean anything to you.
And how far would I get before you called your cop brother?
As they stepped out of the house, he put an arm tight around her waist, pressed the gun into her side.
We're going to walk down a little bit. Take my car. A minivan, Shelby? You're an embarrassment to me.
That tone, that pitying tone. How often had she heard it?
I'm nothing to you.
Never was.
Oh, you were so useful.
He pressed a kiss to her temple, made her shudder.
And at first, hell, you were even fun. God knows you were eager in the sack. This one, get in, climb over. You're going to drive.
Where are we going?
A little place I know. Quiet, private. It's just what we need for a heart-to-heart.
Why aren't you dead?
You'd like that.
I swear on all that's in me, I would.
He shoved her into the car, forcing her to crawl over to the driver's seat.
I never did anything to you. I did what you wanted, went where you wanted. I gave you a child.
And bored the crap out of me. Drive, and keep it to the speed limit. You go over, you go under, I'll shoot you in the gut. It's a painful way to die.
I can't drive if I don't know where I'm going.
Take the back roads around that hole in the wall you call a town. Try anything, Shelby. I'll take you out. Then I go after the kid. I've got too much at stake, and I've worked and waited for it too long to let you fuck it up.
You think I care about the jewelry? The money? Take it and go.
Oh, I will. First thing Monday morning. If you hadn't come into the bedroom, you'd never have known I was there. As it is, we'll have a reunion weekend. Then I'm gone. Just do what you're told, like always, and you'll be fine.
They'll look for me.
And they won't find you.
Sneering, he pressed the barrel of the gun into her side.
Jesus, you stupid bitch. Do you think I've outwitted the cops all this time and can't keep ahead of a bunch of Barney Fifes for a day? Take this turn coming up, to the right, nice and easy.
Your partner's been around. Jimmy Harlow? Maybe he'll have better luck finding you.
I don't think so.
His tone froze her blood.
What did you do?
Found him first. Steady on these switchbacks. I wouldn't want this gun to go off.
Her insides quaked, but she kept her hands steady as she negotiated the tight wind of the climb.
Why did you marry me?
It served my purpose at the time. I never could smooth you out, though. Never could make anything out of you. Listen to you. Look at you. I gave you plenty of money, taught you how to buy the right clothes, how to give a decent dinner party, and you're still the ignorant hick from the Tennessee hills. It's amazing I haven't bashed what brains you have out before now.
You're a thief and a swindler.
That's right, honey.
His sneer shifted to a cheerful grin.
And I'm damn good at it. You? You've never been good at anything. Take this excuse for a road on the left, nice and slow now.
He might have thought her ignorant, useless, malleable, but she knew the hills and had a reasonable idea where they were going.
What happened in Miami all those years ago?
She asked, wanting to keep him talking, distract him as she slid her left hand into her pocket.
Oh, we'll talk about that. We've got a lot of things to talk about.
Texting while driving, she thought, struggling not to give way to hysteria, was dangerous. She hoped to God she managed to do it right. Because while she knew the hills, she thought she knew the man beside her now. And she believed he meant to kill her before he was done. 30. The country dark road twisted like a snake as it climbed and gave her an excuse to ease off the gas. She let the fear show, no point in pride, and the show of fear could be another weapon. Or at least a shield, she thought, as she slipped her hand into her pocket and prayed she could manage a coherent message.
Why didn't you just run?
I don't run,
he said, with that same self-satisfied smile on his face.
I navigate. You were just what I needed to make my new ID solid after the Miami job. It didn't take me long to realize you'd be useless on the grift, but you made for a good temporary cover.
Nearly 5 years, Richard?
I never figured to keep you around that long. Then you got knocked up.
I think on my feet, he reminded her. Who's going to look for a family man? A man with a hick wife and a baby.
And I had to wait for the take to cool down. And for Melinda to get out. She made a hell of a deal, you have to give her credit. I thought she'd get double what they gave her, and that would have been plenty of time for cooling off and covering my tracks. But she always could surprise me.
You killed her.
How could I? I'm dead, remember? Make this right. Nearly there.
Nothing back here, she thought, but a couple of cabins. At least that's all there'd been when she'd left the ridge. She hit send, she hoped, because she had to put her left hand back on the wheel. But you're not dead, and you killed her.
And who are the assholes looking for over it? Jimmy, I'm in the clear. I'm going to stay in the clear. And when I pick up what's mine Monday morning, I'll be in the clear with millions. Long-range plans, Shelby, take a lot of patience. This one cost me a little more than a year for each 5 million. That's a damn good deal in the world of big pictures. Pull up right beside that truck.
Who else is here?
Nobody now.
My God, Richard, whose place is this? Who did you kill?
An old friend. Turn off the car. Hand me the keys.
Once again, he jabbed with the barrel of the gun.
You're going to sit where you are until I come around for you. Try anything, anything. I'll put a bullet in you. Then I'll go get Callie. I know people who'd pay a premium for a pretty girl her age.
She hadn't known he could sicken her even more. She's your child. She's your blood.
Do you actually think I care?
No. Her hand was back in her pocket, frantically tapping. I don't think you care about anything or anyone. And there's nothing I wouldn't do to keep Callie safe.
Then what's left of the weekend should be easy on both of us.
She considered locking the doors when he got out, just to give herself more time to send the next message. But it would only spike his temper. It had to be better to make him believe she was utterly helpless. It wasn't too far from the truth. When he came around, opened her door, she got out compliantly.
Here's our little home away from home.
He used a penlight to shine a thin beam, showing the way to a small cabin, roughly built. Her shoes crunched on the short gravel walk leading to a sagging front porch. A couple of old chairs, a rickety table. Nothing she could see that could be used as a weapon. He dropped the penlight back in his pocket, handed her a key.
Unlock the door.
She did what she was told, and at the prod of the gun, stepped off the dark porch into the dark cabin. She jolted when he turned on the light, couldn't help herself. It came yellow and dull from the globes on a wagon wheel dropped from the pitched ceiling.
I call it the Hickville Dump. It's not much, but it's ours. Sit down.
When she didn't move fast enough, he shoved her toward a chair of red and green plaid. She caught herself, turned to sit, and saw the blood on the floor, smears of it leading to a closed door.
Yeah, you're gonna clean that up. Then I've got a shovel with your name on it. You're going to bury Jimmy. Save me the sweat.
All of this for money?
It's always the money.
The excitement, the light that had first drawn her to him beamed out. But she saw it now for what it was. Hard and false.
It's always the money, he repeated. But it's the ride, too. It's knowing you're the smartest one in the room, no matter what fucking room. It's knowing if you want it, you can take it.
Even if it belongs to someone else.
Especially, you moron, if it belongs to someone else. That's the ride. I'm going to grab a beer.
He sent her a wide smile.
Get you something, honey?
He backed into the tiny open kitchen when she said nothing. So sure she was paralyzed, she thought, he didn't even bother to restrain her. She kept her hands clenched together in her lap, the knuckles white. But it was as much a rising fury as fear now. The lamp, she thought. The one on the table with the black bear hunched by the trunk of a tree. It might be heavy enough if she could get her hands on it. There'd be knives in the kitchen. She imagined the Winchester rifle over the fireplace was unloaded. But maybe not. And there was an engraved plate on the stock that read, William C. Bounty. She relaxed her fingers, started to slide her hand toward her pocket, let it lie still again when Richard walked back.
sat across from her.
Isn't this cozy?
How did you do it? How did you survive the boating accident?
Surviving's what I do. Melinda was getting out. I didn't count on Jimmy busting out, complicated things a bit. I didn't think he had that in him. But Melinda? I knew she'd be a problem. She always was a dog with a bone, just never let go. So she'd need to be dealt with before I cashed in.
He settled back, obviously relaxed.
I always figured on the 5 years, and it was close enough. So, a little vacation with the fam, tragedy strikes, and I'd be off the grid again.
We'd have been with you if Callie hadn't gotten sick.
When his eyes gleamed, understanding struck her with true horror.
You were going to kill us.
You were going to kill your own baby.
Young family's holiday vacation ends in tragedy. It happens.
You couldn't have gotten away with it. If the authorities hadn't hunted you down, my family would have.
Not if I died trying to save you. It should have played out that way. I'd have spent a couple days painting us as a happy little family. People tend to believe what they see. Good-looking couple, pretty little girl. Then we'd make a day of it on the boat. Go out far enough, get some wine in you. Wait until dusk.
He took a slow sip of beer, smiled at her.
I tossed the kid over, and it's easy money you'd go right over after her. I wouldn't have to put a mark on either one of you.
You're a monster.
I'm a winner. I'd scuttle the boat, get my scuba gear. With my new ID and a change of clothes and a waterproof pouch, I'd have made it to Hilton Head in a few hours, which is what I did, without you along.
The squall.
Unexpected bonus.
You could have died out there. Why risk dying?
You don't get it. Never will.
He leaned toward her, that light glowing again.
That's the point. That's the rush. All I had to do was dump the tanks, catch a cab, and pick up the car I had waiting in long-term parking at the airport. Drive to Savannah, and my drop box there. Wouldn't have needed that, by damned, if I could find the key for my box in Philly.
He watched her while he took another sip of beer.
You got into that. Where was the key?
In the pocket of your leather jacket, the bronze one I gave you for your birthday 2 years back. It had gone through a little hole and into the lining of the jacket.
Well, son of a bitch.
He gave a half laugh, shook his head as he might over a missed putt on the green.
That key would have saved me some time and trouble. Either way, I'm dead. The way it turned out, you got to play the grieving widow for a while. How did that suit you?
I wish it had been true.
He laughed, toasted her with his beer.
Coming back to the boonies brought some of that sass back. Let's see if a little housework knocks it back out of you.
He rose, went back into the kitchen. When he picked up a bottle of bleach and a scrub brush, she got to her feet.
You want me to clean up the blood?
You're going to clean up the blood, unless you want to clean up your own along with it.
I can't.
He swung out with the back of his left hand, quick as a snake, striking her across the cheekbone hard enough to send her stumbling back and into the chair again. She didn't know why the blow shocked her, now that she knew him.
Really knew him.
But he'd never hit her before.
God, I've wanted to do that for years!
The furious pleasure on his face iced her blood. He could and would do more than knock her down if she bucked him. Even as he stepped toward her, she held up a trembling hand. And again, it was more rage than fear. But she only let the fear show.
I just meant I need a bucket. I need a bucket of water and a mop. I can't get it cleaned up with just the bleach and a brush. That's all I meant. Please don't hurt me.
Why the fuck didn't you say so?
She let her head hang, and thinking of never seeing Callie again, her family, never seeing Griff, let tears come. Let him see the tears, she thought. Let him think that's all that's in me.
You start sniveling, I'll give you worse than a love tap. Go find a damn bucket. Make a move I don't like, you will be mopping up your own blood.
She went into the kitchen, scanning, scanning. No knife block, but surely there was a knife in a drawer. And there was a good cast iron skillet still on the stove, and a coffee pot. Filled with hot coffee, that would make a weapon. She looked under the sink, considered her options there, then in a skinny closet. There she found a broom, mop, bucket, some old cord, some rusty chain, butane lighter fluid, bug spray. She considered grabbing the bug spray, aiming for his eyes with that as the pepper spray was in the purse she'd left in the car. But he was nearly on top of her. She took out the mop, the bucket, filled the bucket with hot, soapy water. She carted it over to the largest smear of blood.
I need to use the bathroom.
Hold it, he advised.
I'll do what you tell me to do. I just want to get through this, Richard, but I need to use the bathroom.
He narrowed his eyes. She kept her gaze downcast, her shoulders slumped.
Right there. Door stays open.
If you won't give me privacy, at least don't look at me.
She walked to the tiny bathroom. Razors, maybe, in the old medicine cabinet? A window too small for her to wiggle through if she had the chance. She put the seat down on the toilet while he hovered in the doorway.
Just don't look at me!
She let out a choked sob.
The door's open, you're standing right there. I'm just asking you not to watch me, for God's sake.
He leaned against the jamb, cast his eyes up to the ceiling.
Awful dainty for someone one step up from an outhouse.
She smothered her sensibilities, lifted her skirt, pulled down her panties, and shot her hand in her pocket.
Please, God, if you're listening, let this make sense. Let this go through.
When she was done, heat flushed her face.
Jesus, look at you. Sweaty, splotchy. Your hair like something a rat wouldn't nest in. I don't know how I ever got it up with you.
She dipped the mop in the bucket, wrung it out, began to wash up the blood.
And what's your pithy comeback?
Hurt feelings.
He made crying noises.
God, you're weak. You think that asshole you're fucking now is going to stick?
He loves me.
Saying it, knowing it, steadied her.
Love? You're a handy piece of ass. It's all you ever were. All you'd ever be. A handy piece of ass who'll splash around in some backwoods creek.
She froze and slowly lifted her gaze.
You spied on us? On me?
I could have taken you both out.
He lifted the gun, pointed it at her head, said, pow, pow.
But I wanted to lay it on Jimmy's plate. A nice, tidy circle.
But you killed Jimmy.
Unavoidable alteration in plans. Don't worry, I've got it covered. I always do. Put your back into it, Shelby.
She went back to mopping and began to make plans of her own. Griff got hung up talking construction with Derek, lost track of some time. He had Shelby's champagne, but he didn't have Shelby. A glance around showed him Bitsy was back, a little damp-eyed as she danced with her future son-in-law. Shelby was probably dealing with some other small crisis, he thought, but set out to look for her.
Hey, Griff! Hey!
Crystal came over, pointed at the glass of champagne.
Is that up for grabs?
She took it, drank deep.
I need it after drying Miss Bitsy up. She was watering like a leaky pipe.
Looks like you and Shelby got it done.
Oh, it was just me. That's why I was looking for you, but I got waylaid a couple times. It's a hell of a party. Shelby had to run home for a minute, get Fifi for Callie. She should be back by now, I guess.
When did she go?
Oh, I don't know exactly, since I was dealing with the leaky pipe. Then Miss Bitsy's sister, they call her Sugar, she came in so the two of them were leaking together. I guess it's been about 20 minutes or so. She should be back or on her way.
Maybe it was the dregs of all that had happened, but the dread just dropped over him like a shroud. He yanked out his phone, intended to call her, and it signaled an incoming text in his hand.
It's Shelby.
There you go.
Crystal patted his arm.
She's just letting you know she's on her way back, I expect. No call to look so worried, honey.
But when he brought up the text, the bottom dropped out of his world.
Where's Forrest?
Forrest? I just saw him over that away, flirting with a pretty blonde.
But Griff was already moving, and fast. He cut across the dance floor, ignoring those who called out a greeting. He spotted Forrest, and what he felt must have showed on his face. After a casual glance in his direction, Forrest's eyes went cold. He turned away from the blonde without a word.
What happened?
She's in trouble. Griff held out the phone.
Richard Live, his gun, making me drive Black Drango, west on BB Road, KY license, 529 KPE.
Christ. What's BB Road? Black Bear Road? Wait.
Forrest clamped a hand on Griff's arm before his friend could take off.
You're not going to find her driving hell-bent all over the hills. I'm not going to find her standing here. We're not going to be. Nobby's over by the bar there. Get him. I'm calling it in. I'm going after her, Forrest. Not saying different, but we're going to go with the best chance of finding her. Get Nobby.
They pulled Nobby outside, and Clay and Matt with them.
We're going to do this smart, Forrest began. Two men to a team.
The sheriff's putting more together right now. We're going to blanket the area west of town. Odds are he'll keep to the back roads.
Clay, you look here.
Clay clamped a hand on Forrest's shoulder, leaned in to look at the map on his phone.
You and Nobby are going to cover this section here. You keep your eyes peeled for that vehicle, that license plate. Matt, you sure about this?
Hell yes.
I'm going to have you go into town, hook up with the sheriff. He'll...
What's going on here?
Viola stepped outside.
What's happened? Where's Shelby?
Griff only waited a beat.
You're wasting time figuring out what you should say or not, Pomeroy. Richard's alive, I don't know how, and he has her. We're going after her.
The color drained out of her face, made her eyes blaze like blue fire.
Boy, if you're putting a posse together, your granddaddy and I are going to be part of it.
Granny?
Don't granny me,
she snapped at Forrest.
Who taught you to shoot?
I'm going now, Griff said. Nobby, set it up from here, will you? Griff and I are going.
Callie,
Viola called out.
She's fine, Griff checked, and we've got a man there sitting on the house right now.
Forrest kept going, opened the lockbox on the side of his truck, took out a Remington rimfire rifle, a box of ammo.
I've seen you shoot, so I know you can handle it.
Target shooting was as far as Griff had gone, ever, but he didn't argue. Forrest got in the truck, took his favorite Colt out of the glove box.
We're going to get her back, Griff. Not sitting here, we won't. I'm counting on you to keep a cool head.
Even as he spoke, Forrest punched the gas, and they were flying.
We're going to keep your phone open in case she's able to send you another message. Use mine to coordinate with the other teams as they come along. The sheriff's already pulled in the Federals. They got equipment we don't run to in the ridge and better techs. Shelby keeps her head, keeps her phone on. They're going to track it. He had to be watching her, or be in the house when she went back. We'll find out when we get her back. He's going to be the one who killed the woman.
Forrest's face was stone as the speedometer inched higher.
I wouldn't bet against it.
I saw him, I think. I got a bad feeling about the guy I saw when I took Callie to the bookstore, then to the park. He played me.
Let's worry about now.
The now had fear tearing through his heart, his head, his belly.
He has to have somewhere to go. Shelby said he never did anything without a reason.
We'll find him, and we'll get her back.
Safe. Before Griff could respond, his phone signaled.
It's Shelby. Jesus, she's got nerves of steel.
He struggled to read the jumbled text as they flew around switchbacks.
Old Hester Road. I think she means Hester. I know where she means. It's Odd Hester.
Scatter of cabins and old campsites, deer stands up that way, remote. You relay that, Griff, to Nobby, and he'll take it from there.
What the hell does he want with her? Whatever he wants, he's not going to get it.
Ice, sharp and jagged, poured in through the tearing fear.
How far away are we?
A ways, but we're traveling a hell of a lot faster than they are. Bring the others along now, Griff. He made the relay, yanked off his formal tie. He wouldn't lose her. He would not lose her. Callie would not lose her mother. Whatever had to be done, he'd do it. He looked at the rifle across his lap. Whatever had to be done.
She's sending another. Right hard-packed track past Mulberry Stand. Single cabin. Truck. There's a truck already at the cabin. Might have more hostages. Or it might be his old partner. Let the others know.
Griff couldn't say how Forrest kept the truck on the road. Not at this speed. Not around turns so sharp they could cut bone. More than once they fishtailed, or the tires kissed the narrow shoulder. And still, it wasn't fast enough.
She's sending... It says... William. She means William. William Bunty. Bounty,
Forrest corrected. I know where she is. She's gotten us in faster than the fucking feds ever could.
How far?
10 minutes.
Make it less.
With hands cold as steel, Griff began to load the rifle. Shelby emptied the bucket twice. Refilled it. Stalling, as nothing was going to remove the stains from the old wood floor. But she poured a puddle of bleach from the bucket on the stain, got down on her hands and knees to scrub at it.
Now that's the kind of job you're suited for.
Scrubbing floors is honest work.
Loser work? You lived the high life for a while.
I gave you that.
He gave her a nudge in the ass with his foot.
I gave you a good taste of the high life. You should be grateful.
You gave me Callie, so I'm grateful. You always meant to kill them, didn't you? The people you ran with? The woman who you lived with? She said you married her. Did you?
Not any more than I married you. Thinking I did was about the only really stupid moment she had when we were together. Women. What can you do? They're wired to be suckers. But she wouldn't have given up, even thinking I was dead. She'd want the score.
She was getting too close.
I walked right out behind her, out of that dive where you were singing to a bunch of rubes.
He shook his head, circled her while she worked.
I saved you from a life of embarrassment, thinking you could ever make anything with that mediocre voice. And Mel's face when she saw me? Priceless. I take back what I said. That was her second really stupid moment. She rolled the window down, said, Jake, I should have known. Those were the last words she said, and yeah, she should have.
She loved you.
See what love gets you? He gave her another little kick.
It's just another con.
She sat back on her heels, then rose slowly, bucket in hand.
I'm going to need more than this to bleach out that stain. Is there more?
You've got plenty right there.
Yes, but I need it to...
She heaved it up, straight bleach with a faint tinge of blood, into his face. When he screamed, she had a choice. Go for the gun or run for the door. And she was too fired up to run. She kicked, aiming for his groin. The floor was just wet enough that she slipped a little, and it took the leading edge off the kick. But she made contact. Even as she tried to grab for the gun, he fired it, wild and blind. Her ears rang. She ducked, snatching at the mop, hoping to make better contact with his balls with the handle. But his flailing hand got a fistful of her hair, firing stupefying pain into her skull. She jabbed her elbow into the same tender area and knew she hurt him, knew she gave him pain.
But he was as wild as she was now, and flung her across the room like a rag.
Bitch! You bitch!
She rolled. She wasn't sure how well he could see, hoped he was blind. Desperate, she wrenched off a shoe, flung it across the room, praying he'd follow the sound. But he walked slowly toward her, the whites of his eyes shattered and red.
I'm not just going to kill you now. I'm going to hurt you first.
He rubbed his left eye with his free hand. Making it worse, she knew. Please, please make it worse.
Let's start with a kneecap.
She braced for the pain, then scrambled back in shock as the door where the bloodstains ended burst open. Richard whirled, blinking his burning, blurry eyes as the bloody mountain of a man rammed him. Horrible sounds, the grunts, snarls, the crack of fist against bone. But the only sound that mattered was the clatter of the gun as it leaped out of Richard's hand on impact and hit the floor. She bolted after it, nearly dropped it again out of hands soap slick with her own sweat. She swayed up to her knees, bit down, gripped the gun in both hands. The big man was bleeding, and whatever force had driven him into the room and at the man who'd shot him was eaten away now. Richard had his hands around the man's throat, squeezing, squeezing.
Dead. Thought you were dead, Jimmy.
I thought the same about you, she thought, and said calmly, coldly, Richard. His head whipped around. She wondered what she looked like through those burning eyes. She hoped she looked like vengeance. He bared his teeth, let out a short laugh.
You haven't got the spine.
He lunged at her. They heard the first shots as Forrest spun the truck onto the dirt track. All plans to go in quiet, one in front, one in back, while backup poured in behind them, dissolved. He floored it, fishtailed over the gravel walk as the next shots rang out.
Go in fast,
Forrest shouted as they leaped out of either side of the truck.
If he's standing, drop him!
They hit the door together. Griff swung the rifle up. But Richard was already down. She knelt on the floor, holding the gun out, gripped in both hands. There was blood and bruising on her face. Her dress was torn at the shoulder, where more bruises bloomed. Her eyes were cold and fierce, her hair a wild, tumbling tangle of flame. She never had and never would look more beautiful to Griff's eyes. She swung the gun toward them, and he saw her arms tremble. Then she dropped those trembling arms.
I think he's dead this time. I think I killed him. I think he's dead now.
Griff shoved the rifle at Forrest. His heart started beating again when he had his arms around her.
I've got you. You're all right. I've got you.
Don't let go.
I won't.
He eased back only to pry the gun out of her stiff fingers.
He hurt you.
Not as bad as he wanted.
Kelly.
She's fine. She's safe. She's asleep.
He said he'd kill her if I didn't go with him. He said he'd go after her.
She looked over at her brother, who pressed fingers against Richard's throat.
I had to protect her.
You did what you had to do, Forrest told her.
Is he dead now?
He's breathing. They both are, but they sure are a mess. It'll be up to the doctors and God whether they make it.
He shot him. Shot the big one, Jimmy, and thought he was dead, but he wasn't. I threw bleach in his eyes, but it wasn't enough. I slipped on it, I think, when I went to kick him in the balls and he got me by the hair. He was going to shoot me, but the other one came out like a demon from hell. I got the gun. I got the gun and the big one, he couldn't fight anymore, he was bleeding so bad. Richard was choking him. I said his name. I said Richard. So he looked at me. I don't know why I thought that would make him stop. He thought less than nothing of me. He thought I was weak and stupid and spineless. He said that. He said I didn't have the spine and he came at me. I had the spine to shoot him 3 times. I think it was 3 times. He didn't go down until the 3rd time.
Forrest shifted, crouched eye to eye with her.
You did what you had to do.
Her eyes lost the fierceness, went glassy with tears.
You have to take it back.
Take what back, baby?
That I can't shoot worth shit.
Weak-kneed, Forrest rested his brow to hers a moment.
I take it back. Get her out of here, Griff. I got this.
I'm all right.
Rather than argue, Griff just picked her up.
You came.
She touched his cheek.
I knew you would somehow. I didn't know if the texts were going through or who I was texting for sure. I've got them alphabetical, so it was going to be you or Forrest or Granny, maybe Grandpa. I knew if they got through, you'd come. You'd fix it.
You fixed it yourself before I got the chance.
I had to. Someone's coming.
Her fingers dug into his shoulder.
The lights. Someone.
Back up. You're safe now.
He turned his face into her hair.
You've got the whole damn Rendezvous Ridge Sheriff's Department and God knows who else coming.
Oh, that's all right then. Will you take me to see Callie? I don't want to wake her up. I don't want her to see me until I've cleaned up, but I need to see her. Well, my God, that's Grandpa's date night car. Set me down so they're not scared.
He put her on her feet, but kept an arm around her. When he felt her shivering, he stripped off his jacket, draped it over her shoulders as her grandparents got out of the car.
I'm all right, I'm not hurt, I'm...
The rest was muffled against her grandfather's shoulder. She felt him shaking, knew he wept. Wept with him a little as others drove up.
Where is the bastard?
Jack demanded.
Inside. I shot him, Grandpa. He's not dead. Again. But I shot him.
Jack took her face in his hands, kissed her wet cheeks.
Let me see the girl.
Viola pulled her away, studied her face.
You were born to take care of yourself and yours. You did what you were born to do. Now we're going to take you home and...
She paused, steadied herself.
Griff's going to take you home,
Viola corrected.
Your mama and daddy are at Susanna's with Callie. Just stay in there while she sleeps. They need to hear your voice.
I'll call right away. I had my phone in my pocket. He never knew I had it. He never knew much about me, I guess. Sheriff?
Her head felt too light, and the dark circled for a few seconds as Hardigan strode up to her.
I shot him. He was going to kill me, so I shot him.
I want you to tell me everything that happened.
She gave Forrest the outline, Griff interrupted. She needs to get away from here. She needs to see her daughter.
Sheriff Hardigan tapped his cheek where Shelby's was bruised.
He do that?
Yes, sir. It was the first time he ever hit me. I guess it's going to be the last time.
You go on home now, darling. I'll be around to talk to you tomorrow.
It took some time. Clay rushed up, picked her up off her feet, held her suspended as if he'd never let her go. There was Matt, who thrust his phone out to her after he'd hugged her, so she could speak to Emma Kate.
Tell Forrest I'm taking his truck.
Griff drove away from the cabin, from the blood, from the lights, then just stopped at the turn onto the road. He drew her over against him, held on.
I need a minute.
You can take all the minutes you want.
She started to relax against him.
Oh, hell, Griffin, I forgot to tell them. Richard has a key in his pocket, or I guess that's where it is. It was in that picture frame, the one holding the picture of me and Callie I gave him. He said he was going Monday morning to the bank, and I think he means one of the banks right here in the ridge.
It's where he put the jewelry, the stamps, too, I guess. He put it right in the bank in Rendezvous Ridge.
Keeping his eyes closed, Griff just breathed in the scent of her hair.
Who'd have figured to look for it there?
I guess he was canny in that way.
I have to tell them.
You will. Tomorrow, soon enough. They've waited 5 years. They can wait one more night.
One more night.
I want a hot shower and a gallon of water, and I want to burn this dress. But I want to see Callie more than anything.
That's first on the list.
Do you know the way to get back to the ridge from here?
I haven't got a clue.
That's all right.
She took his hand in hers.
I do. I know how to get us home again.
Epilogue. Shelby slept long and deep, comforted by the sight of her sleeping child and her own mother's fussing, her father's gentle, if insistent, exam. The sun beamed high and bright when she woke, turned the hills she loved into a glimmering green, bathed to shining by the storm that blew through while she slept. She might have winced when she looked at her face in the mirror, at the purpling bruise on her cheekbone, and winced again with an added hiss when she pressed testing fingers against it. But she reminded herself it would heal and fade. She wouldn't allow Richard to leave a mark on her, or on hers. She heard voices as she went downstairs, followed them into the kitchen. She saw Griff leaning on the counter, smiling at her grandmother, and her grandfather giving Matt some instructions over a hitch in his truck. Her mother put a pretty tray together. Her father drank coffee in a splash of sunlight. Emma, Kate, and Forrest with their heads together, and Clay, Gilly, and the baby huddled together. This looks like a party. All conversation stopped. All eyes turned to her.
Oh, baby girl, I was just fixing you breakfast in bed. You need rest.
I slept just fine, Mama, and I feel just fine now.
She went to kiss her mother's cheek, snatched a piece of bacon off the plate she didn't really want, to make her mother smile.
Party. Oh, Emma Kate, your party.
Don't even start to go there.
Jumping up, Emma Kate hugged her hard.
You scared me, Shelby. Don't ever scare me like that again.
I'm happy to promise that.
Come over here and sit, her father ordered. I want to look at you.
Yes, sir, Daddy. But where's Callie?
We took Jack over to Miss Susanna's so she'd have more company.
Gilly smiled, but gripped Shelby's hand tight.
We all thought you'd sleep longer.
I'm so glad you're all here. I'm so glad I woke up to all of you.
She looked at Griff.
All of you.
She sat so her father could turn her face this way and that, shine his little light in her eyes.
Headache?
No. Not a bit, I promise.
Do you hurt anywhere?
No, well, my cheek's a little sore. Tender.
That's what this is for.
Viola gave her an ice pack and a kiss on the top of her head.
Feels good.
Like bliss, Shelby thought.
He backhanded me because he could, and he pulled my hair like a girl in a catfight. Mostly he just tried to hurt me with words, like always. But he couldn't. Nothing he could say could... Oh, good Lord, I forgot again. Forrest, I have to tell you why he was here, in the house when I came to get Fifi. He was after...
A key? Safe deposit box he's been paying for under the name of Charles Jakes for about 5 years now?
Deflated, she shifted the angle of the ice bag.
Yes, that's what I forgot to tell you.
Griff filled me in last night when I came by. You slept late, Shelby. We found what the feds have been after right in the First Bank of Tennessee on High Street.
All of it? Here?
Most of it. The owners and their insurance company will be notified. That's for the federals.
Tell her the rest, Forrest,
his mother poked him.
I still can't believe it.
What rest?
Her stomach pitched, so she reached for the Coke her mother had put in front of her.
Is he dead? Did I kill him?
Not that part of the rest. He made it through the night, and they give him a decent shot of making it all together.
Closing her eyes, she let out a breath. She'd done what she'd had to do, just as Forrest had said, but dear God, she didn't want a killing on her hands. Even Richard's.
He's going to live?
They say he is. Then he can spend the rest of his life behind bars. The other one, he's one tough son of a bitch. They're giving him a better than decent shot.
I didn't kill him. I don't have to live with having killed him.
She closed her eyes again.
But he'll go to prison. He won't get out again.
He's going to spend what's left of his life in a cell. He's never going to touch you or Callie.
Tell her the good part, Ada May insisted. We've had enough talk of that man in this house.
Spending his life in prison's a pretty good part,
Forrest said, but shrugged, then grinned.
There's a finder's fee for the property stolen in Miami. Standard 10%. There's going to be some paperwork and some hoops to jump through, but Special Agent Landry figures you'll get about $2 million out of it.
$2 million what?
Dollars, Shelby. Pay attention.
But he stole it.
And the information you gave us found it.
We need to have mimosas.
When Ada May wept into her hands, Jack put his arms around her.
Oh, Daddy, why don't we have any champagne?
They're going to give me all that money.
Shelby held up her hands, struggled to take it in.
Enough I can pay off the rest of the debt?
Don't see how it's your debt to begin with, Viola said, but you'll be free and clear.
The man's not dead, Shelby Ann, and you were never his wife.
Unless you've got fools for lawyers, some of that debt's already going to be gone. You'll have enough left, if I have any say about it, to give you a good start.
I can't imagine it. I have to let it settle in. I just can't believe I'd be free of that weight. Free of him altogether.
I want you to eat now and rest some more.
I need to see Callie, Mama.
What are you going to tell her?
I'm going to tell her as much of the truth as I can.
She's got McNee, Donahue, and Pomeroy in her, Viola said. She'll stand up to it.
Later, she took Callie to Griff's. She thought both of them could use some time around a man who'd never hurt them. And she wanted some quiet time of her own with him. She sat on the porch with him while Callie raced around with the dog in a shower of bubbles.
I can't believe you bought her another bubble machine.
It's not another. It's one for here.
I'm so glad you said it was all right to bring her here for a while.
It's always all right, Red.
I guess I know that, too. So much went through my mind last night on that awful drive in that cabin.
I'm only going to bring him up to say Daddy's checked in with the hospital. They both came out of it. Richard, he's trying to work a deal, but they're not giving him room for one. And the other one, he's given them chapter and verse. I think Forrest had the right of it. He's never going to get out of prison. I don't have to worry for Callie on that score.
I'd never let him near her.
She heard it in his voice, the fierceness and the love.
I believe that, too. Everything from last night's a little jumbled today. I don't know if I told you everything straight.
It doesn't matter. You're here.
I'd like to fix us a nice supper later, the three of us.
I'll fix it.
Smiling, she tipped her head to his shoulder.
You're not a bad cook, as cooks go, but I'm better. And I'd like to do something normal. That's how I feel when I'm here. I feel normal.
Then stay. Stay for supper. Stay the night. Stay for breakfast. Stay.
I have Callie.
He said nothing for a moment, then rose.
Would you come in for a minute? I want to show you something.
When she looked out in the yard, he turned.
Hey, little Red, will you watch Snickers for me? Make sure he stays right in the yard. We need to go in for a minute.
I will. I will. He likes the bubbles. See, Mama? They make rainbows.
I see them. You stay right in the yard with Snickers. I'm just inside.
Where's she going to go? Griff asked as he drew Shelby in. And you'll be able to see her out the window anyway.
Did you start on another room?
Mostly finished one.
He led her upstairs. She could hear Callie laughing through the open windows, hear the dog's joyful barks. Normal, she thought again. Safe and real. On the second floor, he opened a door. The light spilled in through the windows, splashed on the pretty green of the walls. He'd hung a crystal light catcher in one of those windows, and more rainbows shimmered. Oh, it's a wonderful space. The color's like bringing the hills right inside. You did a window seat.
Thinking about doing some shelves over there, but haven't decided. Plenty of closet space.
He opened double doors and made her eyes go wide. This is amazing. It's all set up, all painted and pretty. Even the light in here. Is that? She opened another door. A bathroom, so pretty and fresh. And she spotted it then. The little soap dish. A grinning Shrek. It felt like arms hugged her heart. You did this for Callie.
Well, I thought she needed her own space, one she could grow into. You know, Callie and I are getting married. Can't have your bride bunking in an unfinished room.
Her eyes stung. She mentioned that, how you're getting married.
Want in on that?
She turned to him. What?
Bad timing.
Flustered, frustrated, he scrubbed a hand over his hair.
I usually ace the timing angle. Might still be a little off balance. I want her to have her own space. That makes her happy. I want her to be comfortable here. Sometimes you might want to stay and she'd have this for herself. Like the office you'd have on the third floor.
Office?
I haven't started on it yet because you might want it somewhere else, but I think it's a good space. It'd be across from where I'm going to put mine. The first floor office idea was good, he added, but the third floor takes work away from the living space.
She hadn't quite caught up. You're going to build me an office?
How are you going to run a business if you don't have an office?
She walked to the window, watched Callie and the dog. I never talked to you about any of that.
Miss Vi did.
Of course she did. You believe I can do that? Start up and run my own business?
I think you can do anything. You have already. What's going to stop you?
Anyway, you'd both have space and you could spend more time here.
See how it works for you.
How about you, Griffin? Has it worked for you?
I love you. I can wait a while. You've had a hell of a time, Shelby. I can wait a while, but I want the two of you here as much as I can get. I want you to be mine. I want...
When he cut himself off, she shook her head. Say it. You've earned it.
I want Callie to be mine. Damn it, she deserves me. I'm good for her, and I'm going to keep being good for her. I love her, and she should be mine. That's the second part of this, I guess, but it's just as important as the first part. Just as important as you and me.
She sat on the window seat, took a breath.
I'm going to be there for the two of you. That's where I draw the line. You know what fear is. You do, because you went through it. The kind of fear where you don't think you've got any blood left in your body. Where everything's drained out of you but fear. That's what it was when he had you. I can be patient, Shelby, but you're going to know what you are to me. What you and Callie are.
I know fear. I know fear like what you spoke of. I felt it too, and with it a terrible, blinding rage. Both so tangled they were one thing in me. That fear and rage that if he did what he planned to do, I'd never see my baby again. Or tuck her in at night. Or watch her play and learn. Never dry her tears. And a fear and rage I'd never see you again, or have you hold on to me, or take my hand the way you do. So many things, I can't say all of them. It would take a lifetime. But I knew you'd come. And you did. She drew another breath. I've never said I love you.
You'll get around to it.
How about now? She watched the change, so subtle in his face, in his eyes, and her heart just smiled inside her.
Now works for me.
I've never said I love you because I didn't trust. Not you, Griffin. I came to trust you so easily, and that scared me a little, so I didn't trust me. Crossing her hands over her heart, she swore she could feel it swell. It's all been so fast, so I'd think, I can't get carried away with all this. I can't let myself go, just ride this wave. But I did. I am. I love you. I love who you are with me, with Callie. I love who you are. It might have been fear and rage that made it come so clear, but it is clear. You made Callie this room. For her. She's already yours. So am I. He stepped to her, took her hands.
Was there a yes in there?
There was a whole bunch of them. Weren't you paying attention?
I got a little lost after I love you.
He drew her in, took her under, took them both under with the light splashing and rainbows circling. I do love you. She murmured. It fills me up, lights me up, like Callie does. I didn't know anyone else could make me feel that way. But you do. Overcome, he rocked her, rocked them both.
I'm never going to stop.
I believe you. I believe you and I. We're going to build wonderful things together. With you, I can look past today and tomorrow into weeks and months and years.
I've got to get you a ring. I should get Callie a ring.
Her heart just melted. You're right. She does deserve you. I'm going to keep you filled up and lit up, too. She eased back, framed his face. I want more children.
Right now?
Pretty much right now. I don't want to wait. We're good with children, you and me, and Callie should have a big, noisy, messy family. He was grinning, and those clever eyes shining with it.
How big?
3 more, that'll make 4.
4's doable. It's a big house.
I have such ideas about this house. I've held back.
Really?
Really. And I'm going to be ferocious on some of them. She threw her arms around him. I'm going to work with you on this house, on this family, on this life, and we are going to build something strong and real and beautiful together.
I think we've already started. If you're going to have all these ideas and give me all this help when it comes to the house, you should move in pretty soon.
How's tomorrow? She loved seeing the surprise, then the joy.
Tomorrow is also doable. Word of the day, doable. It's all doable.
Why don't we go talk to Callie about it?
Let's do that. Stay for supper, he said again as they started downstairs. Stay the night.
Stay for breakfast.
I know I don't have a bed set up for her yet, but I'll fix something up.
I know you will. They walked outside the old house they'd made theirs. Walked to where a little girl and an ungainly puppy raced around in a whirl of glistening bubbles, where the hills rose green and the clouds smoked over them in a bold blue sky, and the water bubbled musically over rocks in dappled light and shadow. She'd found her way home, Shelby thought. All the way home.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Liar by Nora Roberts. Performed by January Lavoie. Directed by Sarah Schaefer. Performance copyright 2015 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.